Hello, this is Brad Warren, and you're listening to Beyond the Event, a youth ministry podcast presented by Christ in Youth, where we help you maintain momentum between the mountaintops. We have another fantastic episode today full of just some guys. I don't talk about this enough. The people that I get to work with are amazing. They're so talented, and they are so kind and so passionate about ministering to your students, and they're just the best people in the whole world. And we've actually got three of them on today's episode, which is amazing. So here's who you're going to hear from. You're going to hear from the director of Superstart, Corey Klein, who's the nicest person in the whole world. You are also going to hear from two members of our graphic design team, Ellen Smith and Matthew Harris. They are so talented that it's kind of silly. And I'm excited for you to hear about some of their processes that they go through as they make things for your students to enjoy. It's going to be a really great episode. A lot of kind of behind the scenes nitty gritty about what life at CIY is like. So be sure to stay tuned. It's going to be a good one. Now let's go to my interview with Ellen and Matthew. Okay, I'm joined now by two people who have a talent that I could never have, no matter how hard I tried. The like 10,000 hour rule or whatever it is, wouldn't matter. Couldn't do it, could not do what they do. It's our design team lead, Ellen Smith. Hi, Ellen.
Hello.
And one of our graphic designers, Matthew Harris.
Howdy.
Hi, Matthew. You know what I'm just not realizing is that both of you have spouses who are on staff here too, because I almost introduced you as Haley. I did not almost introduce you as Sully. So
I get that all the time.
Yeah.
What's actually funny is that Haley is, my wife is right next to Ellen, and Ellen's husband is right next to me. And we're in different wings of the office, but we're...
It's amazing. What a small, small world we live in here at Christ in Youth. So here's a fun fact, Ellen. This is more for you than for Matthew. Because when did you start full-time?
June of this past year.
Mm-hmm. So 8 months or something on staff.
Yeah.
It's great. Ellen, the first episode that we ever did of this podcast, which was... Well, you're going to tell me how long ago it was, because we released it like when you were in the hospital giving birth to Quinn.
Okay. So yeah, about 2 years and 4 months ago.
2 years and 4 months ago, because you did the design. So our graphics, when you like click on the episode, if you're listening, you had to get here somehow and you see like the black thing with the space look and whatever. And it says, so Ellen designed that. Mm-hmm. And I remember like shouting you out on the first episode, like, thanks to Ellen Smith. And the first episode was dedicated to Quinn.
Oh, so sweet.
I know. So anyway, that's kind of fun.
I am tied into that because the reason that I started working at CIY was because Ellen was on maternity leave.
That's true. Oh,
and we contracted you. How fun. Yeah. Quinn really brought all of this together. Oh, and she's just so cute. The double pigtails.
Oh, so cute.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world. All right. So I got questions for each of you. They're about graphic design in general, because I don't know about it. I know about clip art. I could use that when I was in school, and stick figures, and that's all I got. So Matthew, you're a very artistic person, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. One time, Matthew designed a whole volcano that just lived in our office. We don't need to go into the backstory of that. We're just going to let that be
graphic design.
Yeah. That was like paper mache or something. I don't know. Anyway, super talented guy. When was the first time in your life that you were like, okay.
Wait, real quick. Sorry. I did not build the volcano. And if my coworkers, Garage Gang, shout out. If they're listening to this, they would be very disappointed. I did not build that volcano.
Don't worry, no one listens
to this. Shout out, Amy. Okay.
Amy did it. Great. Anyway, None of that negates anything that I said. You're a very, very talented human being. I want to know when the first time in somebody's life is that they could be like, I enjoy designing things on the computer. I want to do this for a job. Like, do you remember when you realized that graphic design could be a career and that you wanted to do it and make money doing it?
Yeah. It's kind of a complicated origin story, but I actually wanted nothing to do with graphic design for a long time. So I wanted to be an artist, a real artist is what I would say at the time. I wanted to do things tactile, like build volcanoes with my hands.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of painting and drawing and those things all through school. I had plans to go to art school, ended up going to Bible school instead of art school. And then hoped.
I feel like everybody who goes to Bible school has a sentence, I ended up going to Bible school instead of.
Well, mine was, I was going to go to Bible school first and then go to art school, which eventually ended up happening.
Great.
But in the meantime, I got the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and paint for the House of Prayer there. And I was going to be painting for them. I was painting this picture for them. And I spent like 12-hour days in a room by myself painting and hated it.
Amazing.
And realized that a lot of the work I had been doing was graphic design, and I enjoyed the problem solving, people working with people and trying to help them solve a problem way more than painting. So my desire to be like a fine artist, I realized when I got the opportunity to do that, that I hated it and I really did enjoy graphic design. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
when it does, when you said the word tactile, something popped into my head that none of you may understand. I hope that one of you does.
I hope we don't.
Have you ever? No, I well, if you don't, it's fine. Have you ever seen the show Friday Night Lights?
No,
no.
Heavens. Okay, never mind. Moving on.
What about our listeners? They've seen it.
They don't. They might have seen it. Okay, listener. You remember when Matt Saracen was working for that guy that was an artist and he was a crazy person and walked around in his underwear and built stuff out of random stuff? That's what I'm imagining that Matthew did pretty
please,
much.
Please don't imagine that.
Oh, it would have been funnier if you'd seen the show, Matthew. I didn't actually think of you as that. Anyway,
in post-COVID world, as a graphic designer, that is much more a possibility in reality.
Yeah, true. But if you had like followed that thread and realized that you hated it and then kept doing it, you may have ended up being that, which I'm glad didn't happen.
Yeah, so after that, I went to school for graphic design. So that's when I went back to art school, but not doing what I thought I would do. I ended up doing graphic design, which is where I met Ellen, because we went to college together.
What? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Missouri Southern, shout out.
We had a painting class together.
Yeah, go Lions.
Which I was fine with because I had done a lot of painting.
And I was terrible.
Ellen was like, I hate painting.
Oh, man. Ellen, yeah. You've been around CIY a long time.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you a question that you are going to hate.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that. I want to know what your favorite thing you've ever designed for CIY is. Do you have that like locked and loaded?
I would say the thing I consistently say I'm the most proud of was the Superstar Tour Game Changer, because we had to create three fully unique stage worlds to immerse the students in what that environment was for that session. And that was the thing I'm most proud of, because I thought it looked really great, but it was also extremely complicated logistically, and collaborating with production and the programming teams and us and our print partners. So I think that's the thing I'm the most proud of visually that we've collaborated on.
Yes, that was a really cool one. Was that like the 2019?
I think so.
Tour?
I think it was right around there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I always hear a thing. I had no idea that you did that. Because you're so humble. You need to tell us these things more. Like, look at this cool thing that I did. Maybe that wouldn't go over well. I don't know. All right. Glad you guys are here. I think you're both geniuses. And like I said, I can't do the things that you do, which just makes me in awe of you. So the reason that I asked you to be here today is because we actually got a mailbag question that is so specifically for you guys. And so thanks for coming. Are the people want to know, you know, about the things that you do. So I'm going to hand it over to Michael Michael's going to tell us what our mailbag question is.
Hey, friends.
Hi, Michael.
We have a friend named Jen Scrocky, and Jen is asking, what design themes are trending for teens right now, and how do you stay on top or ahead of those trends for merch? And what do we have to look forward to design-wise for the summer?
Great questions.
A lot. That's a lot.
A lot of questions.
Let's start with design trends.
So design trends, there's kind of two answers there, because I think there's design trends in general and then design trends in merch and apparel. The things that we're seeing trending in just design as a whole are things that we also leaned into for Move and Mix this summer. So that's kind of a preview too, which what we call look and feels, those have been released, the posters. And look and feel is a whole other term we could go into at length about what that actually entails.
Especially this year.
Sure.
Let's do it.
So
what
look
do you
and
mean
feel,
when you say that?
Yeah. So look and feel is our go-to phrase. It's just how we start just discovering the world each year. We meet with the programming team who tell us, here's our key teaching, here's our key verses or books of the Bible that we're going to focus on. And they then kind of say, like, so what should it look like? And in the past, that has kind of meant, what does the poster look like? Over the last couple of years, it's really evolved into, what does that world mean? Like, what does that mean for our interactive team to animate? What does that look like for the film team when they need to know what typeface should go in their film?
A listener, typeface is a fancy word for font.
That's true.
I did learn that.
That's
working here.
True. Yeah. That's a little design nerd phrase. And it also dictates, you know, what does everything we make look like moving forward, but it's also started to impact programming in a way. So a good example last summer for Mix and Move, honestly, for Move, it was collage, for Mix, it was doodle. And that involved, or that led to a lot of things being incorporated into the programming. So for Move, we did Visio Divina, where there were prayers based on collages up on the screen, or for Mix, similarly with doodles. So, it's turned into less of, do we have a cool poster? We do want that. We want students to look at it and youth leaders to look at it and get really excited to come to the event. But it's also just expanded just how we collaborate as a content team.
Very cool.
So it's creating the visual language and the design system that everything else is going to go like build from. So what colors can be used, what fonts, as you say, layman's terms.
Typeface, please. Let's keep it technical.
Yes, typeface, typefaces they can use. And it's kind of become like a chicken and egg situation of like, they both have to exist. Programming says, here's the idea. And then we say, well, here's visually where we can go. And then they say, oh, well, here's where we can go with ideas. And like, it kind of just is constantly now a continuing dialogue instead of really a handoff.
But it's cool because if you just go to Move or Mix, you know, back in fill in the blank year, 2012, like there may have been cool design in terms of like what goes into the poster or whatever. But when you go to Move in 2024, it's going to feel very immersive when you walk into the room because of all of the different pieces that are at play, which is a really neat thing. So now I kind of want to work backwards through the question because we've ended up here.
Yeah.
So what do we have to look forward to design-wise? Some people will have seen things, but I want to give you kind of a chance to explain what the heartbeat behind some of those things for Move and Mix was.
Yeah. The process is, like we talked about, establishing what the look and feel is. So it starts with like, well, what's trending or what will be trending, which is where our job gets real dicey. Mm-hmm. So this summer in 2023, we were told what the theme programmatically would be for 2025.
Amazing.
So 2 years ahead of time, right? And so we're having to like forecast what will be trending, not what's trending right now in this moment, but what will be trending in a couple of years, which is really scary. But yeah, we start looking at what we think we're seeing what's starting to emerge because we're having to do it so far in advance. We're doing it a year in advance. So we have to look at kind of not what's currently popular and everywhere, but what's starting to pop up. I'm in play off of those things. So this summer, when we were looking at it, some of the things that we kind of leaned into was kind of a, the search, the buzzword would be groovy cartoon.
For Mix specifically.
Amazing. So it's got kind of a 60s and 70s groovy vibe, which means you're going to have a lot of organic typefaces, meaning they're not like geometric. They don't have hard edges. They're very like curvy and expressive. Expressive typography is a big trend. So a lot of that. And then we've incorporated the checkerboard, which has been trending for a minute, but that plays into the groovy kind of aesthetic and just kind of those organic forms. There's not a lot of structure to it. And so I think that's what gives it kind of that groovy, playful
feel. Is there something in like the zeitgeist that you really drew from? Were you like, so I don't have the eye that you have, but when I see, this could be so offensive.
I hope so. I'm ready to
But we're all friends here. So like when I see the Mix thing, I immediately think of like Super Mario Brothers. I don't know if that's, you know what I mean?
Not even close.
Yeah, great, so great, 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 great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So tell me what you did draw from then. If it's like, is there stuff out there that...
So really, for me, it's like Woodstock. Like those like band posters of like the 60s. But then, you know, we don't want it to look like a drug trip. So it's like, I don't know. Can I say drugs?
Too late. Yeah.
Michael, you'll have to edit that out. We didn't want it to just look like that, right? Because these are preteens. So, you know, referencing the 60s isn't where they're at.
Right.
So it's somehow equal parts like the 60s and like band posters from like Woodstock and Dr. Seuss, which we can't just do Dr. Seuss.
Maybe Dr. Seuss was what I was thinking.
We can't do Dr. Seuss because that would feel beneath preteens, right? So it's like somewhere in between where we can have an animated kind of looking cartoon world that still feels mature. Because that's, I think that's the trickiest part with preteens is that you always have to call them upward. You can't play beneath them. You can't play like to their kid side, right? The preteen wants to be a teenager. So you have to play upward without being too mature or whatever. So it's a weird balance, I think, with that poster of like not being too retro because they don't understand it and not being too childish because it feels like they're too cool for it. So hopefully we've towed that line. Time will tell.
It's still very playful.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know how much we vocalize it anymore, but the Mix logo is called the pause play because it literally has a pause and play icons in it. And that is like the heart of Mix. So that's why we felt like this cartoon style could be such a good way to emphasize kind of the play and then let the programming speak to the pause.
So. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and this summer, the big push with Mix, you said, one part of the question was, what can we expect this summer? But a big push for Mix this year is full immersion. So an immersive experience in this world, this cartoon world that we've created. So we're excited.
What about Move?
So for Move, so just to preface, if you don't know yet, like that the programming for this summer is all, it's called The Rest of Your Life. It's focusing on Psalm 23 and that true rest is only found in Jesus and that he charges us to commit our lives to live differently. And that takes rest. So for both of those, having those be the same theme, but two age groups and slightly different focus, for Move, it definitely feels high school. Like we knew that this look and feel for Move this year, it wouldn't have worked for Superstart or Mix. Like it's definitely older. And some have said a little more intense than maybe we've had in the past, but we welcome that. We welcome kind of the uncomfortable quality to it because you're going to learn like why it is that way through the programming this year.
And real quick though, in our initial pitch with the programming team, Mix, the programmers for Mix, Mallory is the programmer. She said, I want to lean into rest. I want it to be depicted as rest. I want it to be peaceful. I want it to have nature. I want it to like depict rest on the poster. And then for Move, they're like, we want to depict chaos and tension. And we want to call out what students are experiencing and then invite them into rest throughout the week. So the two posters and themes could not be more different to represent the same idea, which I love.
100%.
Well, in the way that, I mean, intellectually, just the way that like a high school student and a middle school student engage that idea of rest is so different. So it's so cool that you guys, like if you look at the posters side by side, it's like, man, these are both brilliant and so different. Yeah. So wild, like all these kind of crazy colors and then for Mix and then you've got only black and white for Move and just, I don't know. Anyway, continue.
No, yeah. I just think for Move, to answer your question, like something to look forward to is we were extremely intentional in what the imagery is each day. The programming will walk you through that throughout the week. You're going to see a different look each day. Same for Mix. But specifically for Move, I think the thing I'm most excited for was it took a long time to figure out what imagery would work with the teaching. And I think that's just such an important thing being a designer in an organization like Christen Youth. We have to know the word too. We have to be able to dive into it deeply.
Yeah.
Because if you can't, you will not, you just won't be able to portray the message that's being taught. So we have to be students of the word. We have to dive deep into all the things that the programming team has been learning and learning with experts and learning in their own study. And then we get to apply that sometimes in a really subtle way. It might be really subtle this summer, but if you look deeply and you pay attention to what's being taught from the stage and what's being preached from the word, you'll be able to understand the imagery much, much deeper.
Yeah. I'm excited for those light bulbs to kind of come on for people throughout the course of the week and Move. It'll be really cool. All right. I do want to make sure that we hit on Jen's question about, like, I know for a youth pastor, there's this desire to want to make like youth group merch that is really cool and to have spaces that reflect what a middle school or high school student would like or enjoy or think is trendy and cool or whatever. So how do you got into this a little bit when we were talking about merch, and I don't think we quite finished that thought, which is probably my fault, you know, and that's fine. But let's talk about that a little bit. How do we stay on top of those types of things and make things that students think are cool?
Yeah, merch is honestly one of the toughest things I think we make every year. Because we have to appeal, we have to create a lineup that appeals to hopefully as many students across the country as possible. So for us, when we make a lineup, we're trying to think, okay, this tee feels like it would appeal to this group of students. So let's make sure we make another tee that feels like it also appeals to a more broad group of students. We also keep the youth minister in mind, but we are definitely students first in our approach to apparel. So that's something that's even changed over the last couple of years, is a big shift to making apparel that it's not that we don't care what you youth ministers want to wear. We do care, but we really care deeply about what is a student going to think? What do we think that they're going to find cool and impactful? So design trend wise, I mean, athletic wear is still very popular, especially like vintage collegiate looking apparel. That was something we leaned into really heavily last summer with the Kingdom Worker basketball tee. And we're definitely seeing athletic wear. We're seeing more bold color, I think, kind of being introduced, but balanced with also pretty muted colors. So we really do see all the trends across the board. I think the challenge for us is appealing to a wide audience. Matthew and I were talking about this earlier. I'd love for you to speak into it, of the resource a youth minister has that's a little different than what we have access to.
Yeah. So we're trying to navigate how to hit every demographic nationwide. Thousands and thousands of students, and what do they like and what do they prefer?
So a student in a rural community outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and a student living in Malibu, California.
Exactly.
We have to sell to both of those people.
We have to sell to both of those people from Joplin, Missouri.
Right.
Right. So like based on what we're seeing here and all of those things, as a youth minister, you get a leg up because you know your audience. You can see every week what they're wearing and what they're buying. You can gauge trends in your community, in your church, and in your student group. Even more than gauging them, you can ask them, what are you looking for and what are you seeing? We don't have the ability to do that. So we're having to do guesswork and do our best to hit the most amount of people. But as a youth minister, like, man, find some examples, Google image search and be like, hey, which of these do you like the best? You know, like, what would you like to see on a t-shirt? Like, you can ask them, like, and kind of fix the results of like what you're doing. And if you don't want to ask, like, just watching kind of what you're seeing trend in your group. For us, we have to rely heavily on social media. What accounts are we following? What designers are we following right now? Graphic designers, what are they putting out? What's the new stuff that we're seeing? The sites that we're using for resources and assets, like a lot of those have trending tabs. So watching what's trending on their sites, like what are people putting out right now and kind of seeing how can that fit in our world and in what we're doing as well.
Yeah. So a lot of this conversation has had an undertone of like, yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know,
so
we just like do the thing. You guys both do it incredibly well. And every year, anybody who's listening to the show who's been to Mover Mix knows, you go to the store and there's a line of kids waiting to buy things, and they want our t-shirts, they want the hats, they want everything. You guys, even in the midst of it being a very ambiguous process, do a really incredible job. And so thank you for the work that you do on that. Is there any Instagram influencer, like, are there people that are out there that it's like, yeah, we're really watching this, and I have no, like, is Kylie Jenner still a thing? I don't know. Is she still doing stuff out there?
She's big in the design world.
I don't know.
Graphic
okay.
design. She's
okay.
killing the game.
Cool. So like, who are we leaning on? You said like the accounts we follow on Instagram and whatever. Yeah. Are there people that youth pastors could go follow to be like, hey, this is cool?
Yeah. I mean, well, first we do just kind of look at pop culture of what our, especially athletes, pro athletes wearing, what are brands like Nike, Adidas, all of those doing. As far as social media accounts that we follow, I mean, the design Instagram world is broad. So I feel like a lot of it is just kind of fed to us from the algorithm because it knows what we want. there's some accounts. Pro Church Media is one. And this is another thing I'll say too. Like, there are times that we lean on people who do this solely professionally, like who design apparel, especially in the Christian space. So don't be ashamed of that, of leaning into contractors. So like in the last year, we started working with a designer named Hannah Guernsey. So her social media is very big. We definitely lean on her. We're using her again this summer. But it's just kind of seeing what are designers, especially in the Christian space.
What are the cool kids up to?
What are they up to?
And I think that
Sunday Cool is that is
Sunday
that
Cool. Yeah, Sunday we take cool a look at them one, for sure. Yeah.
And there's several brands like the He Would Love First is like a church merch thing. Forgiven, which I don't think has any vowels in it. FRGVN, I think, is one. There's several, and then the algorithm will start like feeding to them.
just go start liking a bunch of their posts. And
exactly.
Then,
but like not being like a youth pastor, again, it's like, oh, I've got to somehow connect to that circle. So as a youth pastor, again, I'm just going to say, like, you've got a great resource. You have actual teenagers right there that you
Please
can find out.
Email us and tell us what they
say. Tell us what they want. I will say that I think with, you know, Beyonce is dropping a country album, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, she announced it during the Super Bowl.
No, she did not.
Yeah, she dropped two singles from her country album, Renaissance Act 2, and it's a country album.
I am flabbergasted.
Anyways, that explains why she's wearing like a big old white cowboy hat to the Grammys. which was part of Louis Vuitton's whole show that Pharrell did, was all like Western wear, right? Yep. So like, yep. I think that kind of like pop culture twist on Western, I think we've started seeing that in graphic design some, that there's lots of random stuff with horses and yeah. like other like elements like that, like of kind
and
of-
we have one. For the summer.
Yeah.
That we've
yeah.
had for a while. Spoiler we're pretty alert. Excited. Yeah.
That, but now it's like, oh, we can use this.
Yeah. yeah.
So I do think that that's something that like I'm watching closely right now because I feel like it's the start of it. You know, like I'm not seeing it in Adidas and Nike yet, but like higher up as yeah. the trickle down goes, I think we might see more of that. So
in Barbie, there was a moment where Ken thought that horses ruled the world.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, he was disappointed with the patriarchy because it didn't have anything to do with horses.
It didn't have anything to do with horses. And that's the note we're going to end on, folks. So I can't think of any better way to wrap this conversation up. Thank you both for what you do here. Thanks for taking some time to talk to youth pastors.
Absolutely.
I am so pleased to now be joined by the kindest, most passionate, most positive, handsomest director of Superstart, Corey Klein.
Before you said
welcome back.
Hi everyone. Before you said director of Superstart, I thought you were talking about Michael Hester leading up to all of that. That's what I thought was happening.
Michael has the best beard.
He does. I wish I had it
and
too.
And my mom would say I'm the most handsome at this table.
Well, Margie can have that one. All right. Corey, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I know people could be listening to this like a year from now, but at the moment, it's very sunny outside and feels great.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the sun.
That's great. Me too.
Are you good? Are you
also... It's February the 13th.
That's right.
Right dead center of a Superstart tour.
Seriously, yeah.
Is so fun. How many Superstart tours have you done?
Like so far on this tour?
Or no. Like, how many tours have you done, been a part of?
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is, I believe, my 10th.
Your 10th?
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you 10 years ago?
I would have been turning 19.
You would have been turning 19.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's when you, okay. I mean, you still don't look a day over 20 and a half. So
I'm trying to grow a beard. I'm trying to grow a beard like Michael. That's what I'm trying to do.
Oof. Okay. I believe that's not going to happen.
I need to shave. I'm going to shave tonight.
When you were 19 years old, how did you get plugged into Superstart?
Yeah. So I was at a wedding filming it and it was the reception and I was just dancing. I love the dance. I love the film and be creative. And as I was doing that, I was hanging out with my fifth and sixth grade boys at the time who are now in college. And we were just having a good old time dancing. And the guy who was getting married was playing bass at that time for Superstart. His name was Caleb Gilbert. And he had his friend Patrick Snow officiate his wedding. And Patrick was just hanging out. And then it was like, hey, who's that guy? Who's the guy dancing with those preteens over there? He seems like fun. And really from there, and then it went into conversations with the Superstar team. Like, hey, have you ever acted before? Have you ever done anything? I was like, well, previously, the year before, I went to Something Amazing that year. I watched that and it was great. But I was like, I was in kids' musicals when I was a preteen. So if you count that experience, but not really familiar with it, but the age group has just always been amazing. And so from that, because of that wedding and just being a goofball, Patrick's like, hey, and his team was like, hey, would you try this? And here we are about 10 years later. It's crazy.
I'm pretty sure at some point the words were said that I wasn't there. I'm just remember hearing the story, but I'm pretty sure at some point the words were said, that guy doesn't care what people think about him. You should hire him.
It's probably right. I think I have.
You were just dancing like nobody was watching, baby. And they said, we need to pay that guy to do things for us.
Yeah, man. And then they dressed me up as a clown my first year. That's what they ended up doing. Yeah.
And great. Here you are 10 years later on staff. You're the king of Superstart.
More, maybe more like, you know, the prince or something like that. I don't know. I feel like I need a beard like Michael's and then I could become the king.
You got to drop the beard thing.
Okay. 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 Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Okay. I'm done. Okay. Sorry, Michael.
Anyway. Yeah. So some would say that Superstar is a young man's game. A lot of young people out there that get plugged into Superstar. This year we have some legacy staff members who are part of the tour. Really wonderful people. Patrick Snow, his wife Sammy, been doing this a long time. The Caleb Gilbert,
yeah,
who you just mentioned,
yeah,
playing bass. Mark Morgan. We got some Hall of Famers that were running out there, but you know, not without its peril.
That's true.
How have you seen these people cope with a life on the road with Superstar this tour?
There's some things I haven't skipped a beat for them. They came back. They knew where they wanted to eat. They're like, oh, we used to do this. So all the classic restaurants. Sammy Snow has not mentioned it, but I'm sure if there was a White Castle around, she would want to eat at a White Castle. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, White Castle listeners. It's just true. But really, all those things haven't skipped a beat. The only thing that's different.
Corey, thanks for apologizing to our wide listener base from White Castle.
just want to clarify. You know, you're welcome. But there are some things, you know, they're a little more tired. Caleb Gilbert, he texted me. He's like, I've loved this tour, but man, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like, they're just a little more tired, but man, they're just, oh, so sweet. I won't say names, but there's been some injuries along the way as well.
Which last year you did break your knee in half.
I did. So, and at that time I was only 27. So it doesn't really matter, how old or young you are. You could still break your body, all the name of CIY Superstar and Jesus. But some things that happen, you know, we have some young people who make some Walmart runs at the end of the day. And usually for the young people, they're like, I'm going to go grab some Doritos or Skittles, you know, whatever snack they like.
Mountain Dew.
Whatever, I'm going to stay up all night. Waffle House. Let's go to Waffle House. But for some of our other people, I won't mention names. Some are like, hey, I need some like Tums. Oh, hey, my back hurts. Can you get me a corn bag for my back? You know, it's like, oh.
A corn bag.
And other things, you know, that has to do with your body feeling better because, you know, it hurts. And our lovely people who, you know, over the last couple of years who are, you know, in college or graduating college, who were summer events at for Mix, who are now getting to work together with these amazing people who have been a part of it for all 19 years. So it's been funny, but also, you know, I'm a positive guy too. You mentioned it. So it's like, it's also cool to see all these different ages like coming together to serve preteens together. That's been really cool.
Yeah. It is really cool. Yeah. It was fun being in Virginia with some of those folks and watching them just do, it was like watching Michelangelo paint the Sistine Chapel. It was just a master at work watching Patrick and Sammy and Isaiah up there doing something that they'd done a trillion times before and just hitting it out of the park.
I agree. And my favorite part of the weekend, whether it's Patrick or whoever's hosting, is it's my favorite. And you're going to listen to this, maybe some of you, and you haven't seen it yet or heard it, but you will. The pirate song. It's been incredible.
It's a treat.
It's a treat.
It is a treat.
It's so good.
All right. So some people are slowly withering away and dying on tour, but worth it because, man, preteens are really responding to what Jesus is doing through Superstar this year in such a fun way. Want to give you a chance to tell some stories from the road. How many events have you done?
At this moment, I have been to 3 and I'm about to be at my 4th one this weekend.
Amazing.
In the end, I'll do 8 in total on this tour. Yep.
I love it.
Yep.
So I want to know what has really encouraged you from your time on the road so far.
Well, first off, I just love traveling with the team and making those memories, but we've really been pushing this weekend, this tour on the weekends kingdom work, like what we talk about at Christ and Youth, in all of our programs, you know, calling students to a life of Christ and life of kingdom work through his church. And so we're just taking all three sessions. And so because of that, fourth through sixth graders are like leaving events, not just leaving, they'll like go to a restaurant that night and they're already doing some kingdom work. For example, I have literally this last weekend, I was in Houston and there's this girl named Dallas. Funny coincidence. It was a Houston event. Her name's Dallas. And
I don't get it.
Okay. Okay. It's okay.
What's the joke?
Well, her name's Dallas and they're at the Houston event. It's not really a joke. I don't know. But here we are.
Am I missing something?
Michael, help me out.
I don't get it either.
Okay.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Michael.
Basically, wow,
we
that.
Just both chose to just throw you right under the bus.
And that was I'm amazing. Here for it. Nothing makes me feel weird.
It's funny, listener, because Houston and Dallas are both in Texas.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on.
So my friend Dallas, preteen student.
I thought you said her name was Houston.
We don't have a problem. Anyways, she, with her group, after we ended Saturday, they went to CeCe's Pizza. Mm-hmm. Love some CeCe's Pizza. And she walked right in and was like to her leaders, hey, like they mentioned at Superstart that kingdom work is for everyone and it could be used everywhere. I'm at CeCe's Pizza. Why don't I start doing that right now? So she went table by table, talking about the experience of Superstart, teaching them the amp up dance, showing some dance moves, but then talking about everything she learned and then asking if she could pray for them. This preteen student just left the event, left and went into a CeCe's Pizza and prayed over strangers. And they were encouraged by her boldness in that moment. And then other things we've heard, of course, are kids making decisions to follow Jesus for the first time. There's also this story from my friend Lori at Solid Rock Chapel. She said, we took five kids and they're all willing to get up front of the congregation at church after Superstart and tell their experience. And then they encouraged adults to become kingdom workers as well. So, I mean, it's just showing, you know, we read in 1 Timothy, you know, you don't look down on anyone because they're too young. Set the example. They're already setting the example. I know I'm biased. You know this, Brad. Like, I love Superstart.
It's so fun.
Besides my family and Jesus, it's one of my favorite things in the world, but it's because of that age group. They are world changers for the kingdom. And I'm so thankful that people are more and more realizing that more than ever now that like, hey, they're smart, they're unique, and they're literally leaving an event and going to CeCe's Pizza and telling people about Jesus. It's really cool.
That is so incredible.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, obviously, the older you get, the more you care what other people think about you, which is a cancer that is hard to get rid of. And it's just so encouraging and refreshing to hear stories of people who are 11 or 12 who don't have that, who haven't been like burdened by the world in that way.
Yeah.
And are just like, this awesome thing happened to me. I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I agree. And even if they have had crazy things happen, like they keep pushing forward. Like, there's even things from last year where I know of a family who lost their house in a house fire the weekend of a Superstart. And they, last year we talked about Unscripted and they talked about Jesus felt feelings just like us. And so they said, you know what? You know, I'm feeling sad and don't know what to do. Pause, remember, Jesus felt it too. We talked about that last year. And so it just shows like, even when they are going through hard things, like they push through and they trust Jesus and they share Jesus.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
All right, Corey, time for a time-honored tradition.
Drum roll?
No.
Okay.
The mailbag.
Yeah. Michael Hester, take it away.
All right, Corey, we have a question from our good old friend, Tim Gray.
Oh, hi, Tim. Sorry about the Lions.
Did you work with Tim? Were we together with Tim?
We were together with Tim in Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
What a...
That's... I'm so sorry, Tim, about the Lions. That's all I got to say.
Tim wants to know, what is your favorite recipe made by a CIY staffer?
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, it's super simple, but Becky makes the best cookies. So any kind of like, and chocolate chips, my favorite. So my wife and I say my wife and I had a kid. My wife had the kid. I was there as support like throughout it all. But we had our son back last September and Becky made the best homemade cookies for us. And everyone made great food. Brad picked us up some food, which was great. Loved it.
Yeah, but I didn't make any food.
You didn't make it, but Becky, Becky literally made cookies. And then Becky also just had a kid recently, and she still made cookies for those people
I know.
Who brought them things.
I took them a meal, and she was like, here's some cookies for you. I'm like, Becky.
Shout out to Becky for how amazing she is. Shout out to Becky. Is. So honestly, I say cookies with anything that Becky makes. I don't know if that answers Tim's question, because he just needs to taste whatever she makes.
Yeah. Also, Tim Gray, absolutely goated campus minister.
Yes.
And I love you. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you also, Tim, for cookout, for introducing me to cookout last summer. That was great.
I introduced you to cookout.
Yeah, but he bought my first meal.
Oh my
gosh. Did you buy my first meal?
Tim bought it. I drove you there.
That is true. Thank you, Brad and Tim.
Yeah.
So anyway, Steve Boer has a question. Steve has some very nice things to say about our team at CIY. He says, your creativity and ability to engage youth is off the charts exceptional. And I'd love to hear how you ended up at CIY.
Yeah. So yeah, we mentioned a little bit the introduction to that, but how I got into my role and full-time job, really the last 9 years, it's just led through small things, being contracted over the years for Superstar, making silly videos with Superstar and Mix and whatnot, led to a conversation with some friends like Patrick Snow, Levi Greer. And I got to say this.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
All along the way during that time, you were on staff at a church for a period of time.
Yeah,
you were a professional wedding videographer.
That's correct.
For a period of time, an exceptional one, sought after even. Like, how many weddings were you doing a year before you got here?
My final year before I got here, I filmed 62 weddings in 1 year.
Okay, there are 52 weeks in a year. And Corey did 62 weddings. So a very driven, busy, entrepreneurial man who's just like, generously giving his time to CIY so that he can dress up as a flamingo on stage or whatever. So that's kind of what's going on. Now I will let you jump to your conversation.
That's nice of you, Brad.
With Patrick.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So I was doing all that. Also dancing at the dance studio I've been at the last 10 years, which is some of those boys that I mentioned that I was at the wedding with. And in between all that, I just had people like Patrick and even friends like Drew Crisp along the way and Levi Greer who were just like saying, hey man, I see this in you. Like, I really think you're good at, you're creative. You're really good with this age group. And not only are you good with it, but like you truly like actually care for this age group. You're holding up the preteen ministry flag in a sense of like why they're important. And so when this came open after being contracted the last 8+ years, and they just were like, hey, pray about it, think about it. And that was just a course of time. So then my wife and I were like, okay, well, just think about this. Because I'll be quite honest with you. I love filming. I love doing that. And we're in a good spot. And I love getting to say yes to those opportunities. But I just, right before that conversation, felt like God was like, hey, if something like this was Superstar or pre-team ministry came up and like, just start walking through the door. Let's see what happens. So we did, and the door never shut over the course of a few months here and there and back and forth conversations. And here we are. And next thing I know is we're about a year and a half in that I get to be a part of this amazing team. I get to see Brad and Michael just about every single day, whether they like it or not. And I get to hang out with preteen pastors every weekend. And that's the best part, is hanging out with preteen pastors and hanging out with students. And I just love it to death.
How much distance is there between those two things, like the best things, and then like hanging out with me and Michael every day?
Well, first off,
because obviously it's not in the same tier.
Well,
you know,
no, it's not. But you need to take the hand like that's low for you and Michael, and like up here, like way up here in the clouds, it's like hanging out with preteen ministers and the students. That's great talking about Jesus, but then talking about Jesus and hanging out with Michael Hester and Brad Warren is like it goes. into infinity and beyond, like heaven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like you're patronizing me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel encouraged.
Yes.
Well, if Michael feels encouraged, then I feel encouraged.
It's great.
No, love you. Really glad you're on the team. It's so fun. You said that preteens, like that one of the things that came up when you were kind of like interviewing for a job is that people said that they appreciated how you champion this particular age group. Can you peel back some layers of that? Like what is it about this age group that is fun for you? What is it that is particularly meaningful to you? Why are you especially passionate about this age group? I just want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, first off, they're really fun. They're energetic. So as you know me, I like to have fun. I like to dance around. So that's the first thing. They're fun. But really, honestly, I think people overlook, they're like, they're not that smart. I'm like, no, that's not true. They're being silly. And yeah, maybe at one point they're asking a question and then doing cartwheels and some other things 5 seconds later. Yes, that's true. But like they are very curious and they will ask some of the deepest questions. And I'm not just making this up. Like you ask anyone who's been in preteen ministry and children's ministry, who's dealt with 4th through 6th graders over the years. And some of the deepest questions have come from a 10 through 12 year old. So for me, it's the fun, but it's also the curiosity. And they're not scared in a sense to like try new things. Like literally, like they're figuring out what worship's like for some. They're not scared to lift their hands to Jesus and worship in front of a bunch of their friends. They're not scared to, like I mentioned earlier, go to a stranger and talk about Jesus, because it's like, well, they just said to do this, so I should do this. Yes, they're asking questions, but they're also figuring out like what, like abstract thoughts and stuff like that too, because their brain is literally changing dramatically at this age.
Which is the beauty of Superstart, that Superstart's very intentional about speaking directly into that moment in a kid's life. And man, if you're listening to this and you've never been to Superstart, you gotta go.
Please.
You gotta go.
It's so fun.
It really is a blast. And we have a lot of events this year yet that you might be able to make it to. But we'll probably be in 17 or 18 spots again next year. Yeah. And the preteen age group presents unique challenges that demand a unique presentation of the gospel. And I think Superstart knocks it out of the park every time.
And I'll say this to the add-on. We say this with our adult leaders every weekend. You know, this is for preteen ministers, but this is for everyone too, what we get to present to preteens. It changes not only the students' lives, but I know there's people who have been a Superstar and they're like, my life was changed that weekend as a leader and sponsor too. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a great conversation, Corey. I appreciate you taking some time to be with us today.
Always the best with you too.
It is just so fun. I am going to ask that you close out our time together by reading our blessing over our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. May God show you grace and bless you. May he make his face shine on you. May you experience the love of Christ, through whom God gives you fullness of life. May you be strengthened by his power. May Christ himself make his home in your heart, that you would be full of his love and grace, and that those you serve would see Jesus in you.
Today's episode was produced by Michael Hester, Lauren Bryan, and myself. Thank you again to Ellen, Matthew, and Corey for being with us today. And of course, thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to follow us on whatever podcast platform you choose. Any of them is fine. Just give us a little follow. And we're going to be back in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on the CIY Community Facebook group or by email at podcast@CIY.com. See you next time.